So this weekend, American women woke up to a country remade. It was remade by a radical right court that whitewashed 50 years of constitutional protections. For two centuries, one of the time-honored conservative doctrines has been to uphold precedents. It's called stare decisis. And yet in 2 days, it swept aside not just the right to privacy for women, but a 100-year-old decision on concealed carry precedents in New York. These court decisions are not conservative. They are radical. The SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, dramatically overreached. The Supreme Court overturned Roe, though, because we blew off our own foot with our own gun. Republicans, it's been known, are always playing the long game, singularly focused on just a few things. And because Democrats took their eye off the ball, there are now trigger bans in 13 states. Already illegal in 7 states is abortion. State lines now determine the quality of life for women in individual states. And for every Democratic voter who just couldn't plug your nose and vote for Hillary back in 2016, this is why we're here. In for the conversation this morning is the president of the Laguna Beach Democratic Club, Gwen McNallen. Welcome, Gwen. Thank you for being here today.
Hi, Ed. Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate your being
here. Thanks for having this important conversation.
It is an important conversation, and it shouldn't be the only conversation or the it should go on. We should continue this conversation for a while, and I have a feeling we will. Okay, so we've had the weekend to mourn the stripping of a constitutional right. Where do we go now?
Well, the mourning will continue, I think, for a bit. The outrage turns into outrage, and which then hence turns into action, which is what we need.
Okay.
All over this country. What, and we have plans here as well.
What is our first step locally? What is the first thing that you woke up having to do today?
Our first step as a Democratic club is to really try and engage more people, younger people. We know they're outraged. We saw them on Friday night down at Main Beach, a lot of young people out because they're shocked and appalled by this. And so we need those people to show up and to join our club. So we're launching an initiative for students of high school, college, $5, join our club. We'd love to have you. We need you. We need your voices every day, both in our club, with your friends, where you spend your dollars, you know, supporting companies that are coming out vocally against this decision in the highest court in our land. So there are many things we need to do, but it's really getting more people involved and young people.
Okay. And do you see yourself putting out fact sheets and distributing fact sheets as to the companies that are involved one way or the other here?
Yes. So we're collecting, you know, the names of those companies, the ones who have vocally made a statement. For those that are silent, this tells you that they're silent for a reason. They're not coming out. They're not necessarily for the decision, but their silence is complicit. So we're collecting that information. I think we need to get that out there to everyone. We're going to be putting on our website as well, so that people know who should we support, where should our dollars go. That is really one of the most powerful things we can do. And women, as you know, are the major purchasing power in this country, not just in the home, but in businesses. We're sitting in the purchasing offices of every major company. So we need to realize our power and take it and use that purchasing power to really make a statement to all of these companies and to people throughout this country. This decision was made by the highest court in our land. This is made for the minority of this country.
Right.
Majority of people in this country do not want that decision to happen.
71% of the American people wanted no change.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Democrats and, you know, what is our... Yeah, we sat on our heels for the last 50 years. We didn't codify it. We didn't make it law. And now we have the risk of, if the Republicans gain the House, they plan to make it law, federal law, for every state no abortion rights. So we in California, we think we're safe. Well, we're not.
Right.
And so as a club, not only are we involved locally and really getting the local candidates elected here that we must have, the Katrina Foley's, the Katie Porter's, Kim Carr, Judy Mancuso, but we're also going to look farther than that. We're going to help try and support candidates in other states because that's really what we need.
Right.
Until our system changes and we don't have the Senate system, either A, we break the filibuster, or B, we make a complete shift. This Constitution was set up when we decided two senators per state. When we, I think we only had seven states at the time.
Yeah, North and South Dakota, between them, have four senators.
Yeah, and they have a much louder voice than any of us here in California.
Right. So do you think, you do think the Senate should lift the filibuster in order to codify protections for women?
Yes.
Okay, and we should do that immediately.
I believe so. Yeah, we should have done it before.
Right. So should this change the way Democratic candidates campaign to raise money and campaign for office in November?
Yes.
Should this be point one of why they are running?
Yes.
Okay.
And in fact, you're going to hear it already, and I think we've already seen statements from our candidates here that every one of their opponents on the Republican side are anti-choice, right. And so that needs to be the conversation, because here in California, the majority of people are going to even registered Republicans are for choice,
right.
For women. So.
So, what would you like to see the president do between now and November? Is there something he could do? Is there, like, for instance, would you like to see the federal government open clinics on federal land in, like for instance, in North and South Dakota?
It's a great idea, Ed. I haven't thought about that.
That's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what I think he needs to do right now is get together with the Senate leadership and really work on
right.
Getting everybody on board to break the filibuster.
Right.
And that needs to be the first step, so we can actually pass some legislation there, right. before November.
Right.
We don't have much time.
Right. And there are federal lands all over, but North Dakota, South Dakota, Oklahoma, Mississippi, there are federal lands there everywhere. Where the federal government can open up clinics, mm-hmm. free and clear. Mm. The right isn't good at governing, but they are great at messaging and positioning, which is what happened here. The overturning of Roe bumped the treason of the former president that we had learned about on Thursday right off the front pages. That would have been the front page story on Friday. It seems that was a little orchestrated in the release. Did you get that same feeling?
I did. And at the same time, it's interesting, Ed, though, you have to think about the flip side. It also took the attention off of inflation and off of gas prices.
Right.
Which is helpful for Democrats right now. So, I mean,
right.
the reality is it is the story, was the story, and it continues to be the story for how long, I don't know, until the next big bust. But Democrats need to keep it on a front line, front page news.
Right. Let me tell you something that I saw this weekend that kind of, it irked me a little bit when I saw it. I've always supported Planned Parenthood, but I saw ads paid for by Planned Parenthood about protecting a woman's right to choose this weekend. And I thought to myself, well, where the hell were those ads 5 years ago? Where were those ads when Merrick Garland wasn't allowed even a hearing because of Mitch McConnell's refusal to give him a hearing? Where were those ads then? And are they yet another example of outrage way too late? It's bansoff.org. For me, it was insultingly late to see them this weekend.
I mean, I'm a huge supporter of Planned Parenthood, and I think that they do great work. But the one here in Orange County is doing a lot of outreach. I feel like I've seen it before, Ed, but maybe it's kind of, you know, just showing up for us because that's what's on our mind. You right. know how you notice things then. So I think Planned Parenthood has been out front, has been especially Orange County one. And so that leads me to our August meeting. We're planning to have Planned Parenthood focus, and it's a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood because our Planned Parenthood here in Orange County is funding a lot of other Planned Parenthood sites throughout the country.
Right.
So they're doing great work.
Okay. I mentioned Mitch McConnell. What do you say to the Democrat right now who's angry at his own party or her own party, who saw this coming 6 years ago, as I mentioned, when the refusal to give Merrick Garland a hearing, and instead of taking to the streets and most importantly the ballot box in 2016, we watch the party worry about descriptive pronouns and unibathrooms and pitting identity groups against one another, while women's rights were actually clearly on the chopping block back then. What do you say to that Democrat?
We need to focus. We need to focus. We need to get together, and we need to quit infighting with each other and quibbling over those differences. Instead, right. we need to embrace our everything we have in common, which are the basic democratic ideals of this country, which we all share, majority of people share, and we need to get back to that and realize the big game, the long game, the end game, which we've never been good at.
Right.
But it is also messaging. It's like even just the term that Republicans calling this pro-life. Well, who isn't pro-life? We all are,
right?
That so they're brilliant at that, at spinning it in very small words. We need to do the same. And the head of the Democratic Party nationwide, they should be, hopefully. They have been before now. But up until this point, they need to get together and figure out that common messaging and deliver it to the Democrats around this country so we can stay unified.
So you mentioned pro-life. They're pro-life until it's a classroom full of children and there's a gun involved. If there's a gun involved, pro-life is out the door for them.
Or even once the baby's born.
Right.
You know, it's like, where's their social welfare programs? Right. I mean, in the red states that are the ones that have caught up, that have already had the trigger laws and already went into effect, I mean, they don't have any social, any kind of programs to help these people. And so that's what makes us so angry here, because it's going to impact the already underserved communities and women in underserved communities. And well, it already is in those states. They can't support themselves and their children, and there's no help. Republicans don't pass any laws to help them.
Mississippi already has the highest infant mortality rate in the country and among the highest poverty rates for children in the country.
Yeah.
Yet they're the proudest of this.
They are.
And they claim that all of a sudden now this is going to change everything for them and they'll be able to take care of women and children that can't eat.
Yeah, I have no idea how they can say that.
Yeah. So it seems that, and again, not beating up on you for 50 years of negligence in the Democratic Party, but it seems that Democrats seek the perfect candidate, whereas Republicans have set a much lower bar for their candidates. Why are they so successful even with clearly flawed candidates?
Well, for one thing, I mean, they do it well. They choose somebody that they think they can get elected based on the way they might look and the way they sound. Like, let's take, for example, Congresswoman Steele.
Okay,
right?
I mean, yes.
How did she get elected? Because she's never done a debate. She doesn't go to town halls. Nobody hears her speak.
I can't get her on the air. I've probably put out 100 different invitations to have her on the program.
Because I don't think she's qualified. Right. I mean, to speak. I think they know it, so they keep them hidden.
Right.
So they take these candidates. And then there's the Dr. Oz and the Herschel Walkers. I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
But they get them to that point, and it's name recognition. They go on that more than anything else. And as long as they're going to do their bidding, you know, Trump chose the Republican Party because he knew that he could get them behind him.
And do they speak to an uninformed audience? They speak generally. Would you say that that voter is uninformed or misinformed?
I would say misinformed.
Right.
The misinformation and disinformation out there,
right.
Social media. I think Facebook, Meta has a huge part in our country going down the road that we've gone down.
I'm going to ask you about the difficulty of your job moving forward into 2024. And we know that President Biden has had success that really has gone kind of under the radar. For as big as the success is, that success has flown under the radar, as has Kamala Harris. I haven't heard, we haven't seen her very much. She hasn't been very visible during this administration, and certainly regarding this recently. But your job, how difficult would your job be with President Biden still on the top of the ticket in 2024? How do you energize voters behind President Biden? Or would your job be easier, let's say, running Gavin Newsom for president?
Good question, Ed. I think it would be easier with somebody else.
Okay.
But at this point, but I mean, obviously, we will back whoever that is for that candidacy. I think that we need to, even for this midterms, we need to celebrate our successes and we need to get that out there because people are not aware of what has been done with this administration, both in our Congress, what they've passed. It's gotten stuck in the Senate, but what they've passed and what Biden has accomplished. I think more needs to be done, but it doesn't make the news, you know?
Right. July 4th and celebrations on July 4th. Any plans for protests or demonstrations or a boycott of July? Anything planned for July 4th?
At this time, no, we have not. Okay. I have to tell you, this weekend has been just one of a reflection and
mourning.
In mourning,
it really. I felt a pall over the nation.
Yeah. I mean, people told me that when they heard the news, they literally, you know, felt like they're going to throw up. And that's, we knew, we got the heads up a month ago,
right?
And we still had that visceral reaction. And you know, just think if we hadn't. I can't imagine the what would have occurred.
It's funny you mentioned that we got the news a month ago, and what I thought would have been the ignition to the flame, which was the leaked document. Now I start to think a couple of things. I think, A, we didn't do enough from the moment we heard that leaked document was out there. I really believe that there should have been millions of people protesting daily from that. Yeah, and also I think that the leak may have actually come from the court itself, you know, for them to soften the blow a month later when it finally did happen. That's just me. I don't know whether you agree with it or not. But let me tell you something that I saw that also kind of irked me at the gun rally. There was a gun rally at Maine Beach a while back. And the things I'm going to put together here are that Republicans concentrated on state legislators, and their reward for that these last several decades was getting to gerrymander districts overwhelmingly in their favor in a lot of places. At the gun rally at Maine Beach, just after the primaries, two local women, both supposed activists, and I'm not going to say their names or anything, they were discussing the down ballot candidates. And one said to the other that she didn't have the time to research and learn about the judges and school board positions. I was flattened by that. And she didn't vote down ballot because she didn't study that. So how do you educate them? How do you educate those that go to the rallies but still didn't vote down ballot in the primaries and don't do the research?
It just continues to be outreach. So we saw the primaries, not only did we have a horrible showing.
Horrible.
But, you know, Laguna Beach, we actually were one of the top ballot returning cities in all of Orange County.
Right.
But overwhelmingly, the ballot returns were really low and the down ballots were empty, blank on the majority of those return ballots because people didn't do their homework. So we as a club, you know, for us, it's really important that we do try and get that message out there. And we need as many people to join us as possible to do that because it really takes boots on the ground. Right. So we had created a slate card, as you know, and with all the recommendations for the judgeships for every seat that was on the ballot this last month, right. earlier this month.
seems like a long time ago.
It does. And we'll do the same for the next, right. For the next one. Because there will be additional, you know, there's people throughout on the ticket that don't have a Democrat or a D or an R after their name, right? So it's really important to get that information out there.
Are you able to directly address senior classes at high schools? Are you able to go and speak to a senior class, government class, or?
Yes, we can. So we're looking to recruit some people at the high schools and at colleges to be able to use that voice because it'll come better coming from a young person,
right?
So than myself, but
you're fairly young yourself still. So yeah,
thank you, Ed. But yeah, so I think that's really important, and we also can, of course, openly. I think every year there's a register for people to vote at the high school here. Right. We'll continue to do that. We've tried to start a Democratic club at the high school this last year, and we had a couple students who were interested. So we'll pick that back up again here in August when school gets back. We're reaching out to some of them now. I have a feeling that they're going to be fired up. So hopefully we'll get some more engagement there.
Okay. And how do people reach you? If high school kids or college kids or anyone wants to join the Democratic club, how do they reach you?
So they can find us online. So it's thelbdems.com.
Okay.
But also contact@thelbdems.com is an email address they can also reach us at, and we'll respond right away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the most important thing that regular citizens, the average person walking up and down the street, or those kids can do between now and November?
Get involved and talk. Tell your friends, tell everyone to vote, share with them the information you have. Because it is the uninformed people who are not paying attention.
Right.
We need to get their attention. And the way to do that is to share, and continue to talk about it.
Before I let you go, we've already lost one constitutional right. Are you concerned that we're going to be losing others here in the next several days?
Absolutely. I mean, Justice Thomas already hinted at it. Right. So what strikes me as so interesting, when both Trump was in office, we really saw the power of the presidency that was abused, that is not written in our laws,
right,
that he was able to do.
Right.
And now we're seeing the power of the Supreme Court. Obviously, again, they can remove themselves.
Right.
There's no system set up to remove a Supreme Court justice who shouldn't be sitting there. So we, you know, our systems need to be changed. We were counting on in the past honorable people,
right,
to serve these seats. Well, now we know we didn't have an honorable president, and now we know we don't have honorable judges.
Well, let me bring this up then. So it really is with the Supreme Court now, it's a crisis of legitimacy, mm-hmm, because they, and then by they I mean Neil Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett, and Brett Kavanaugh, they testified under oath that Stare Decisis, or what did I say? What it was? I'm sorry. Help me out here.
Yes.
Stare Decisis. Thank you very much. Sure. I wasn't going to let that one go, I swear. But they said that Stare Decisis it's an immovable object in the Supreme Court, in our Constitution, yet they lied under oath. So lying under oath, should that be an impeachable offense for a Supreme Court justice?
I think so. I mean, we need to actually have a method to remove a Supreme Court justice. We don't have that. So the American people are not going to have trust in an institution when there's no consequences.
Right. No check, no balance, nothing.
No checks and balances. I mean, so that's insane. And we've never encountered that before because we've never had the situation before. We've had justices who've served, who've respected that court in the same way, but now we don't. So, you know, I think that we have a critical trust issue on both sides. Both Republicans and Democrats,
right,
trust in our government and this highest court in our land right now.
Right. Gwen McNallen, president of the Laguna Beach Democratic Club, thank you so much for spending time with us. I hope this isn't our last conversation about this. It's an important topic, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Ed. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Bye.